You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
What starts with the letter C?
What starts with C?
Cookie starts with C.
Come on, what starts with C? Cookie, right. Okay, so, can you hear me? Are we all good there? All right. Who would like a cookie? I made these myself. I baked these no-bake cookies myself. So if you'd like a cookie, come up and get one. But please don't eat it. Just come on up. I'm not going to throw it. You raise your hand, get up off of your rear. Take a cookie. Do not eat it yet. Don't kick the camera. There we go. I'm feeling like a Sam's Club person. Would you like a free sample in aisle 7? You can buy these. Would you like a sample? There you go. Don't eat them yet. Don't eat one yet. Don't eat them yet. No bakes. I baked them myself. So take the napkin. You're going to want the napkin. There you go. Oh, you have a job here? What are you doing up here, man? All right. Anybody else? There's a couple more here. Nobody else wants a no-bake cookie. I baked them all night. All night by myself. And so that's good enough for me. That song goes on for another 30 seconds, and I guess we're all out, so maybe just click to the next thing. Fade out. Or that, you know, fade one or the other, under the other. So I want to talk to you about these cookies in a second. Don't eat them. But I do need to say that at 9:47 a.m. this morning, Marcus Parko was born. So it took them like 3 days to make this happen, and I'm sure right now they're watching online because that's the most important thing to them. So, but yeah, finally they had the baby. So the cookie, they're no bake cookies. They contain oatmeal and other no-bake ingredients. I followed the recipe online. So if you want to eat it, but just you're welcome to eat it. Just one note, and that is that I forgot the sugar. So it's probably not going to change anything, but go ahead and eat it. I forgot the sugar. It should be fine. What? How's it going? It was just one ingredient. It's just one ingredient. It still has the cocoa powder, and it has the, what does it have? It has butter. Butter's always good, right? And oatmeal and vanilla extract. Yeah. So it's just one ingredient that I forgot. And if you're watching online, what you can't see is the faces of people that are gagging and choking and all of that. Because apparently, I'm not only the president of the Hair Club for Men, but I'm also a client. You can eat one. The sugar doesn't matter. So I'm trying to decide what it tastes like. It's sort of like eating bread that's not baked yet. This is really bad. Oh, it was only one ingredient, though. Like, what's the worst that could happen? Oh, it's awful. Did anybody finish it? Anybody brave enough to finish the whole thing? Okay. Yeah, there'll be more afterwards. You're welcome to come and eat them. I took a bite out of that one, so you don't want to eat that one. That might ruin the flavor. Oh, my word. All right, we'll take a quick 60-second interlude while everyone goes and washes their mouth out. And I will say, somebody did not take the napkin. I don't know who didn't take the napkin. There's a reason I gave you a napkin so that you could leave it. There you go. All right. Okay. So we're doing this series called Duplicate, where we're talking about duplicating ourselves, making disciples, making followers of Jesus, and sharing the message and the story of Jesus. And we've been talking, this is the last week of the series today, for the last month, looking at this idea. And today I want to talk about something that when we look at all these different pieces that we have covered in the series, the very first week we talked about how obedience is necessary. And because the idea to make disciples, the idea isn't really the right word, but it's a command. from Jesus. And so it's not just something that's like, hey, that's a good idea. This is a command. We are told to make disciples, make followers. And of course, we talked about the C3 process as a church. What does it look like to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus? What are the things that we saw in the early church? And we saw community, congregation, and caring. And of course, loving God and loving others, how that were the two, the greatest commandment. And so that was the first one. We talked about this idea of obedience. And so for many, some of you, it might have been like, wow, I never realized it was actually a command. I never realized Jesus said, you must do this, you should do this. And then the second one, we talk about example and how our example matters, that we need to let our light shine so that when people see our good deeds, they'll glorify Jesus. So they'll ask us and they say, what is it about you? Why are you different? And we talk about the idea of being a good example and how that matters when it comes to sharing Jesus with other people and how Jesus is the hope of the world. And then the third week, we looked at how our voice is required. That this isn't something that you can just kind of stand around and hope people kind of get it. But that we need to use our words. We need to always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is in us. And that's what we looked at last week with Peter. And we talked about the Romans 6:23. And in your prime groups this week, you're going to get a card from your prime group leader that's the one verse, using one voice to share one verse presentation. It's just a very simple way to tell other people about Jesus. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we talked about how the sin equals death, but the gift equals life, and it's through Jesus. So you'll have a chance to talk about that some more. But all of those things are good, and all those things are essential. But I sort of feel like what we're going to talk about today is kind of the last piece. It's the last ingredient. It's the missing piece, because if we know all the other things, know them, understand that, but don't do the last part here, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't get us to where we need to go. And the missing ingredient is courage. And so the point today that I want us to walk away with is that your courage is needed to duplicate. And I alluded to this a little bit last week. I want to clarify. I'm so sorry. Pieces of oatmeal and crud are just coming up. So there's no one in the front row there. So, and you're my family, so it doesn't matter. So I'll stay on this side. What am I saying? Courage. I alluded to this last week, that what we're talking about with courage is different than guilt. And at the very first part of the passage we looked at last week from Peter, he says, you know, in your hearts, set apart Jesus as Lord. Make Jesus the desire of your heart, and then you'll always be prepared to give an answer. How Jesus needs to be the focus first. And so if you're feeling guilty when it comes to sharing Jesus with other people, it's probably because you have not set apart Jesus in your heart, that Jesus is not the one that is your sole desire, that is your goal. The difference between guilt and fear is different. And that's what I want to talk about today. Fear is this idea of, what if I say something? What if I mess up? What if I say the wrong thing? What if they're mad at me? What if they hate me? What if they kill me? And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is this idea of courage. And that's the missing piece. That's the final step when it comes to sharing Jesus, when it comes to duplicating ourselves. That's a bad idea. I feel like I need like someone to squeeze the bottle in my mouth. I can squish it out and spit out like they do in a football game. Anyway, we're going to turn the house lights on. We're going to look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. And we started our morning worship time singing this song. And this is Paul writing to the church in Rome, the church that he was a part of. And at the beginning of chapter 1, before we get to this verse, Paul was explaining in this letter to the church in Rome that he really wanted to come there. He really wanted to go and be with them and share the message of Jesus, because the message of Jesus matters. And he talked about how God was kind of leading him in different spots and he just couldn't get there yet, but he really wanted to be there, and he really wanted to be able to tell the Roman people, the Jewish people and the Gentile, which are non-Jewish people, about what Jesus has done. And that's where he picks up here in verse 16. He says, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life." And so I want to kind of just break down this last piece, this idea of courage when it comes to sharing the message of Jesus. And so this is the missing ingredient. And I think it's so important when we look at what Paul says here. It's easy, just follow along. Don't miss why he says what he says. So the first thing is to persevere. The first thing is that I keep going. Don't be afraid. Have courage. Don't be ashamed, as he says, to share the message of Jesus. Because it's easy to be like, well, I know that they're hurting, but I don't want to say something because what if they get mad at me? Or I don't want to say something because, you know, they might not like what I have to say. Or what if I mess it up? Or what if I don't do it right? And I mean, people don't like, there's so many people around the world calling themselves Christians, and I don't want to be a part of that group, and they do bad things sometimes. And we have all these things in our heads. And Paul says he has decided to persevere, to just do it. And this is what he says in the very first part of 1:16. So we're going to do A, B, and C on this one. With me, Scott? A, B, C. All right. Why is it A, B, C? Because I made them up in that order. So part A, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ." And there's a couple things you need to understand here. He's not ashamed, which means he's not ashamed of it. He's not hiding it. He's not fearful. He's not worried about what other people think when it comes to this good news about Christ. And the word good news, the Greek word here is euangelion, or in English we would call that evangelion, or evangelism, or evangel. It's the roots of all those words. And the word means to tell good news. And the other fancy church word that we use for this is gospel. We talked about that a little bit last week. That when you hear someone talk about the gospel, that's the message, the good news of Jesus. That's the same word. When you hear people talk about evangelism, and that's what we could have called this series, evangelism. But it doesn't really quite, you know, like, oh, okay, that's exciting. And evangelism is exciting, but as a phrase, most people don't understand what that means. But evangelism, good news, gospel, it's all the same root word, because this was written in Greek. That was the language they spoke. And it's the same root word that means this good news. And it originally, just this is for free, it originally referred to the news that a person that was carrying a message would tell. And the way it originally worked is that the euangelion, that if you were that person, if you were the one delivering the message, if you had good news, you might get a good tip. And if the news wasn't so good, they wouldn't pay you as much. And you probably heard the phrase, "Don't kill the messenger," because that was the person sharing the message. And the good news was, "Hey, I'm bringing good news. Do you have some money for me?" That's where the word started. And it eventually became known as this idea of this good news of Jesus, because it is by far the most valuable message that the world could ever have. And so Paul says, "I am not ashamed of this good news of Jesus." And we could stop right there and just, I could point fingers at you, at me, at you, this camera here, at you. You there? Yeah, at you. I could point fingers and say, "You shouldn't be ashamed. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?" And we could leave it there. And we could just say, "Paul did it this way. It's in the Bible. Deal with it." But I love that Paul doesn't stop there. It's not just a guilt trip. It's not a guilt trip at all. It's not a, "You shouldn't be ashamed of Jesus," because he goes on and he shares the second thing. This missing ingredient about courage, is perseverance, is tied to power. That there's power in this good news. There's power in this gospel message. There's power in this message of Jesus. And we've talked about that all series long, about the fact that Jesus is the hope of the world. Jesus is the only hope we have for eternity. Jesus is the only hope we have to get out of our sin problem. And so Paul says, "I'm not ashamed." And he says, "Persevere. I've decided to persevere in this because of the power." And that's what part B of verse 16 says. He says, "I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work." Now, if you grew up in church, you probably know that verse. You've probably sung it. If you're, you know, really ingrained in church youth group growing up, you probably remember the good old Newsboys song, "I'm not ashamed to let you know." It's just like that. I don't know. Maybe it's, okay. Anyway, But this idea, we are familiar with this, okay, it's the power of God at work, right, I know that. But take a moment to think about what Paul is saying here. He says, I'm going to share this message, not just because I'm supposed to, but because this has power in it. The power of God at work. And again, I've been throwing a lot of Greek words at you, and I apologize for that. But what we miss here in the word power, in English, we know what power means. It means strength. The word actually means ability. That is the ability of God to do something. But the Greek word is dynamos, where we get dynamite. Like, this word is power. It's explosive. And so Paul says, I'm not ashamed. I'm going to share this message. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to have courage. Because this message that I'm sharing, it's not just my message. It's not just a good message for people to hear. This is the power of God. This is the power of God at work. And so, like, I don't know. I mean, if you knew of a way to do something, like, for example, I don't know how what your upbringing was like or what you're like when it comes to tools. But, you know, a lot of times tools are made for a purpose. So, like, I don't know, you have a nail you're trying to put in, you can't find your hammer, but you use the back of a stapler, you know, to bang a nail into it. It's not going to work very well. And I know that for me, over my years watching, especially my father-in-law, who was a contractor at one point, you know, seeing the different tools that are out there and going, whoa, that makes the job so much easier. And so this is Paul saying, wait, this is something that makes the job so much more important, so much valuable. This is the power of God that makes this thing work. This isn't just a good idea. This isn't just good news in the sense of, you know, wouldn't it be cool to hear that? This isn't John Tesh on the radio sharing good news for your life. This is real, the dynamite, the dynamis, the power of God at work that makes a difference here. And so it's also not just God's power, but that word means ability. Sorry. And so when we're looking at what this message is about, we're sharing a message with people that without this message, they're destined for hell. They're destined for an eternity separated from God in hell. And again, we did a series called Burn a number of years ago. Just go to mc3church.org/burn, and you can listen to that four-part series all about hell. But without Jesus, that's all there is to hope for. And so Paul says this message is the power of God, the ability of God at work to get us out of hell. This is the ability of God, the power of God at work to change hearts, to change directions of people's lives, to give people hope. And so Paul says, I'm not ashamed because this is God's power. And we talked about this a little bit last week. Well, not a little bit. We shared the verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 where Paul is talking about the different ways, the different people that shared the message of Jesus. Some were like, oh, I'm a follower of Apollos. And other people were like, I'm a follower of Paul. And Paul says, hey, whoa. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He says, I planted the seed in your hearts. Apollos watered it. But it was God who made it grow. And so we alluded to that a little bit last week. When it comes to sharing the message of Jesus, this isn't about your ability. This isn't about, oh, I think I messed that one up that time. Or this isn't, I shouldn't say anything because if I say it, people aren't going to want to listen to me. The message that we have, the message of the gospel, the message of the good news of Jesus, is rooted in the power of God. So that kind of takes the burden off of our shoulders. This isn't up to you. And again, you want to be a good example. You want to use your voice. You want to be obedient. The things we've been talking about are important. But when it comes down to it, it's not about how well you do, how good your presentation is, that you have all the answers. And we talked about that last week as well. That Paul doesn't say, make sure you're always prepared to give the answer to every problem or every question. He says, always be ready to give an answer for your hope. So we've got the power of God at work here. So that's why we can be bold, because this isn't just a, man, I need to figure this out, or I hope it works, or anything like that. This is God's power at work. The power of the creator of the universe. Like, we woke up and there was snow on the ground. It was beautiful. This is the kind of snow we were talking about this morning. Like, I can get behind this kind of snow. As Kendra said, it's good, obedient snow. It looks beautiful, but keeps the roads clear. So that's the kind of snow that I like. But I mean, if you've seen the sunsets lately, like just all these different things, that is the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, and the message that you share when we tell people about him has the power of God in it. So we don't need to be ashamed because God is the one who is making it grow. God is the one who has the power. So, perseverance, persevere, power. And then the third reason that Paul shares and declares that he has this courage is because of its purpose. Because of the purpose. And so this is part C, into 17. He goes on and says, I'm not ashamed of the power of God at work. Good news is the power of God at work. Saving everyone who believes. The Jew first, and also the Gentile. And just to clarify what this means, the message of Jesus, and we talked about this the very first week, Acts 1:8, Jesus tells his followers to make disciples, to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And the point was that Jesus was Jewish, and the first followers, the disciples, were Jewish people, and so they were the first ones that heard the message of the gospel. And then you can read through Acts to get to this spot where the message was available to everyone, but the Jewish people weren't really sharing it too much. They weren't really going outside of their circles to what are called the Gentiles. That's anybody that's not Jewish. And so they weren't sharing it. And Peter, there's this vision that Peter has where God says, no, it's okay. You can go to these people. You're allowed to share with them. And as we're going to see in 2 months in the speech series in January and February, that this guy named Stephen shares this long speech about the message of Jesus. We'll just leave it at that. And at the very end, he is killed. He is stoned to death for his faith and for what he shared. And it's at that moment the Jewish church was scattered everywhere because of the great persecution that broke out. And it says that the people ended up going to these other nations, these other non-Jewish areas, to share the message of Jesus. So anyway, we're talking about the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. And we talked about that last week. It's simply belief. It's not by anything you do. It's simply by belief. And he goes on and just clarifies that. He said, this good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. And your translation may say faith from first to last. It might say faith from faith. There's actually a Greek phrase there that's a repetition. It's like in faith through faith, which basically means it's all about faith. Oh, she's upstairs. So it's not all about that faith. She's upstairs. She's great. But this is about our belief in Jesus. And he says, this is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. So Paul says, I'm not ashamed of this message. I'm going to be bold about this message because this message has the power of God tied to it. So it's not just my words. This is God's tied into this message. God is the one that provides the growth. And I might be the one that plants the seed. I might be the one that waters the seed. But in my part, I'm going to share. I'm going to be bold. I'm not going to really worry about what people think because this is the power of God at work. And he said, and the reason is the purpose behind it. This isn't just, hey, this is a powerful message. This is the hope of the world. This is what saves everyone who believes. This is the message that rescues people from hell. And so, and this is kind of what we talked about last week with using our voice. Like, just being an example, a silent witness, which is an oxymoron, it is not possible. But if people just look at you and go, oh, you're a good person. And they say, I want to be a good person because you're a good person. And if that's where it ends, we said this last week, good people are going to hell. It's people that have faith in Jesus. It's the belief in the message of the gospel of Jesus that rescues us, that saves everyone who believes. And so that's why Paul's sharing this. He's like, I can't help but share this message because people around me are going to hell and they need hope. They need a Savior. And if I don't share the message, they're not going to be saved. They're not going to be rescued. They're not going to have that hope. So I'm not ashamed of this good news because it's the power of God for salvation. It's the power of God for hope. It's the power of God that rescues everyone. And again, we've been talking about that all series long. Like, this isn't about how many good things you do outweighing the bad things. Those things aren't good enough. We need Jesus. And we said this last week as well. You might be the last person or the only person that knows Jesus that person might come in contact with. This is the power of God for saving everyone who believes. So Paul says, persevere. I've decided to persevere. I've decided I'm not ashamed. I've decided I'm going to be bold. I'm going to have courage because the rest of this stuff is great. But if I don't actually step out and say something, then people will not have hope for eternity. People will not have Jesus. They're not going to guess their way to Jesus. And again, the world is so, like, there's so many misunderstandings of what the gospel message is or even who Jesus is or anything like that. And here's just some kind of a free note. We talked about this in our Prime group a couple weeks ago. One of the things, I know when I was growing up, am I still growing up? I don't know. When I was younger, you know, there was always this, like, I don't want to tell people about Jesus because they'll get offended, because they'll get hurt. But we're in such a, I guess diverse would be the right way to word it. We're in such a pluralistic society, even in America, that most people don't even know. They're not going to be offended if you share Jesus. Most people are not going to be offended if you share Jesus with them, as long as you're not obnoxious, and we'll talk about that later. But they're not going to be offended because they're curious. People don't know, and we have a society that's like, and they may say, oh, that's good for you, but it's not good for me. Unfortunately, that doesn't work out in real life. But this fear that we often have of, oh, what if they don't like me? So many times I've had conversations, not that I've had lots of these conversations, but when you have, people are often like, thank you. I never knew that. No one ever took the time to tell me that. And so Paul says, you know, this is about power or perseverance, power, and purpose. Like, this is the message. This is the truth. When it comes to duplicating ourselves, when it comes to making followers of Jesus, because that's what a disciple is, we need to not be ashamed. We need to have courage because our courage is needed to duplicate. Without Jesus, there is no hope. Jesus even said in John 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through me. The only hope is Jesus. The only hope is this gospel message. So your courage is needed to duplicate. So I want to talk about, if I only had the knife. If I only had the knife. Why are lions associated with cowardice or being brave or something? Like, lions are, they're dangerous, scary, ferocious things. If you've ever watched, we were watching some show, I don't remember what it was, but this guy was in the African savanna without, I think it was maybe Man vs. Wild or something, overnight. And like, he could hear in the flats, miles away, the roar of the lion. And couldn't see a thing. Definitely panic-inducing. But lions are intimidating. But this idea of courage and the cowardly lion. And this idea of, if I only had the knife. I want to talk about having the knife. Having the knife. Does that fit for you, Janine? Steph, do you like that? Do you say knife? if I only had the knife with my coffee, it would be great. All right. But I want to just share a couple things here when it comes to this idea. The first thing, and this is going to sound very weird. This is going to sound kind of strange. Because I'm talking about courage, and I'm talking about why we can share this message and do it with boldness, and we can do it without being ashamed, and we can do it because of the power of God, and we don't have to worry or fear. But the first thing I want to tell you is to embrace the problems. Embrace the problems. Like, a lot of times, and this is cultural, this is human, we want to avoid pain. We want to avoid hurt. We want to avoid struggle. We want to avoid challenge. You know, there's a whole industry that has been around for a long time called the hospitality industry. And it's basically designed, it's hotels, it's restaurants, it's designed so that you can be comfortable. I mean, think about, and I don't want to call you out in a weird way, especially with the verse I'm going to share in a second. But, like, you probably spend more on your vacation than pretty much anything else in a year, except for maybe your car or your house. Like, we put a lot of money into ease and comfort. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with vacation. It's a great thing. But a lot of times we are so fear-averse, we are so struggle-averse, so challenge-averse, that we miss out on opportunities. And this is what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. Hey, I said it right. But of power, love, and self-discipline. He says, so never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. So he's saying to Timothy the same thing he said to the church in Rome. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to tell others about Jesus. He says, and don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. So Paul wrote this letter to Timothy from prison. So he was in prison there, and he wrote to Timothy, said, look, don't be ashamed of the message of Jesus, and don't be ashamed of me, because, you know, people are like, oh man, Paul's in prison for sharing Jesus. Maybe I don't want to do that. I don't want to share Jesus. I don't want to get into that situation. He says, with the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. So Paul says, be ready. Embrace the problem. Embrace the pain. Live in the hurt. Get ready for that. And here's the cool part about why. He says, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And if you put this together as one argument, Paul says, don't be afraid to suffer, because in suffering you see God's grace in ways you would never see in comfort. He says, step into the pain, embrace the problems. If you feel like, oh, I don't want to share Jesus with this, that might cause a problem for me. Paul says, step into it, because in that situation, God's going to show up in a bigger way than if you are comfortable and you don't need God. And we said this so many times too. Like, how often, like in your life, in my life, has our spiritual growth been greater in those moments of hurt, in those moments of trial, in those moments of pain? And again, culture and our own human nature says, I want to avoid the pain. And Paul says, don't be ashamed to tell others. Be ready to suffer, because this message of grace that we don't deserve shows up even in the midst of the pain. We need to embrace the hurt. I wrote here, suffering whittles away the things that don't matter so that we can see the things that do. And, I've had those moments, these are so shallow. But even, like, getting ready to teach or preparing throughout the week, going like, oh, there's all these other things, and I don't know if this is the right thing to say, and what about this? And I start worrying about all these other things, and then someone gives me a call and says, hey, this thing happened. And suddenly everything's refocused. Okay, wait, there are things that matter and some things that don't. And so Paul says, we need to embrace the problems, embrace the difficulty, because God uses those moments to whittle away the things that don't matter, to get rid of the things that we think are so important. I mean, let's just reflect on, and I don't know what your experience was on Thursday, but depending on your role in your home or in your family, were you going crazy trying to put this meal together for these people? And all the details needed to be right, and you didn't have enough of that, and that thing didn't boil in time. And then the inside was still a little bit raw, and all these things that were like, oh no, and we kind of like, I'm sure there was stress built into it, I'm sure there was pressure built into it. And at the end of the day, it was a huge meal that you had to eat. You had food on your plate, where a huge portion of the world doesn't have anything on their plate. And they're not worried about whether the yams should be candied or whether the turkey should be smoked, fried, or baked. They were just hoping to maybe have something. And we get so stressed out about these things that don't matter. And Paul says, embrace the problems. And so when it comes to sharing the message of Jesus, if it means it's going to hurt a little bit, let that be a good thing. Let God use that in your heart, in your life. Embrace it. And that's why I use that phrase, embrace it. Bring it on. Come on. This isn't like some kind of masochism that you're just, I hope I hurt more. No, but if it ends up, for obedience to Jesus, if it ends up hurting, embrace it. Because God wants to use that in your life. God wants to use that to grow you. And of course, if you're sharing the message of Jesus, there's hope for them. So when it comes to this idea of having the noise, embrace the problems. And by the way, I want to pause here in case I forget. Coming up in January, for our fifth Sunday January, we are once again going to rent out the skating rink on Sunday morning. Actually, it's going to be like midday, Sunday. But we're renting out the skating rink, and just like we did years ago, and we'll have the cards for this the time as we get closer. But the whole point is just to invite people to spend some time rubbing elbows, rubbing shoulders. What do you rub? I don't know what you're rubbing the floor because you're not a good skater. I don't know. But spending time just hanging out with people that don't go to church. Hanging out with people that aren't followers of Jesus yet. And it's an opportunity for you to invite them to a very casual way to say, hey, come and check out our church thing. And there are people in this room that was kind of their one of their big things as far as connecting in to MC3 over the years. So, but that's an opportunity to invite people. So, kind of unpause, but I didn't want to forget that. The second thing is to evaluate your priorities. If we are ashamed of the gospel, if we are afraid of sharing the message of Jesus, perhaps we have a priority problem. Perhaps there's something wrong with the things that we think are most important. Because again, if this is the message of hope, if without you sharing, and I'm not saying God has got a bigger picture than we understand, but just from our human perspective, if you are the only one that would share the message of Jesus and you choose not to, then why? Why would you choose not to offer someone hope for eternity? And again, maybe it's an issue of priority. So in Mark chapter 8, it's kind of a longer passage. And so this is Jesus and his followers, his disciples. It says, then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man, that he, must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law. He would be killed, but 3 days later he would rise from the dead. As he talked about this openly with his disciples, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. The Greek word here for reprimand isn't like, hey, dude, Jesus, like, dude, you probably shouldn't be saying that. This is, Jesus, what are you thinking? What are you doing? Do you know where you have been, young man? Do you know what you're saying? Like, it's a very harsh, kind of term. And, sort of like what I said to my son yesterday. Tommy had the hiccups for about an hour. And all around the house, we could just hear he was trying different things. And I was down in the kitchen, and I was doing something. And it was just getting on my nerves. And we're like, what are we going to do about this? And I said, Tommy, stop. Oh, sorry. I said, Tommy, you stop that right now. And the house got silent. And, I mean, I yelled. And Jack came into the kitchen and went, and I was like, so we're kind of like laughing, but don't let Tommy see our face. And then about 30 seconds later, we're listening and waiting. Kara yells down from upstairs, did it work? And sure enough, it did. It actually worked. There were no more hiccups there. But anyway, that's what Peter is saying to Jesus. He's pulling him aside and saying, Jesus, don't talk about this. Don't talk about pain. Don't talk about hurt and suffering. Don't talk about your death. What are you talking about, Jesus? And of course, we know on this end of the story, like, if Jesus didn't die and rise again, we'd have no hope. Why are we even here? Go out and play in the snow. Good luck with that. But this is the hope. And so Peter says, Jesus, why are you talking like this? You need to stop doing that. And then Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples. Then he reprimanded Peter, and he said, get away from me, Satan. Other translations say, get behind me, Satan. So, like, I think that kind of put Peter in his place. Okay, Jesus just called me Satan. This is not good. And this is why he said, you are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not God's. And see, Peter didn't want Jesus to talk about death. Peter didn't want Jesus to talk about suffering. And Jesus said, no, that's your perspective. He says, no, we can't look from a human point of view. And then he goes on and says, then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he, meaning Jesus, says, if any of you wants to be my follower, my disciple, same word, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. And the idea of taking up your cross, we've talked about this so many times too, but when someone was going to be executed on a cross, they would have to carry the cross through town and to the place of execution. It was a sign of, you know, this person's about to die. This person has no longer, you know, for all intents and purposes, they are dead. You know, the phrase that's used modern day in kind of the, you know, the Green Mile or the what do you call that? Not intensive care. What do you call the solitary confinement? No, what's the word? Death row. There we go. On death row, they're like, you know, here comes a dead man walking kind of through there. It meant they're going to die. And so Jesus says, give up your own way. Give up your own desire. Stop seeing things from your perspective. And instead, take up your cross and follow me. Follow me. He says, if you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, the sake of the gospel, you will save it. So Jesus says, stop looking at things from our perspective. We think about hanging on to life. We think about doing things our way. We think about our stuff. And Jesus says, look, that's not what matters. What matters is eternity. What matters is forever. Forever is a long time. Forever is the hope that we have. Like, honestly, is there a part of your life that you're like, wow, this is great. I hope it stays this way forever. Like, I think there's probably even still, like, that didn't taste good. I mean, at the very least, you're like, I love church. I love worshiping Jesus. But then I had to eat a cookie. Like, there's always something that is not great about this. And so we need to stop hanging on to this and start looking towards eternity. He says, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? He says, what do you gain? You could have the best job, the best house, the best car, the best vacation, the best phone, the best whatever. But if you have all of that but don't have an eternal perspective, you're going to lose it. And all that stuff's going to disappear. That stuff's going to rust. That stuff's going to be gone. He says, Jesus says, is anything worth more than your soul? He says, this is what's most important. Your soul is more important than anything else. Anything else. Eternity is more important than anything else. He goes on and says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels. Now, before you freak out and going like, oh, I was ashamed the other day and I'm not going to heaven. The phrase here, it means to deny. And if you decide, you know what, I want nothing to do with Jesus, then when it comes to eternity, you've chosen to reject Jesus, so Jesus is going to have nothing to do with you. And so that's why this message matters. Because we have a world full of people that have no idea that Jesus matters. They have no idea that Jesus is the hope. And so we need to share that message with them. But again, it comes back to our priorities. Because if our priorities are now and comfort and people liking us and getting the good stuff and making sure we have the best job and the best promotion in that job or whatever it's going to take, we're not willing to give that up. And so therefore, we perhaps don't take an opportunity to share the message of Jesus. We don't have the noise. And again, we said this so many times too, but like, think of the most expensive thing that you've purchased over the last year. And maybe it was legit. Maybe it was like heating oil for my home. But if you could, well, let's not even say that. Think about the person that you would love to see follow Jesus the most in your life. Think about that person. Who is that? Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a coworker. That you would love to see them make the decision to follow Jesus. And if you could give up that most expensive thing that you spent last year so that they would come to follow Jesus, would you do it? And I think if we knew it was that clean and simple, I'd be willing to bet. You'd be like, you know what? We'll just make campfires in our house and give up the heating oil. If it meant that that person was going to be with Jesus for eternity. And that's essentially what Jesus is saying here. He says, what are you willing to give up for the sake of someone's eternity? What is it going to matter? You can gain the whole world, but if you lose your soul, if they don't have Jesus, they have no hope either. And so we need to evaluate our priorities. And then the third thing, and this is the comfort that we shared the very first week, bringing us full circle back to week one, is that we need to expect presence. Matthew chapter 28. And actually, this says 20, but it's actually 19, 18 to 20. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples. We read this verse the first week. All authority, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given to you. And be sure of this. Be sure of this. Not hope it happens. Not wouldn't it be neat? He says, no, be certain, be sure. Know for a fact, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so we're not alone when we share the message of Jesus. You're not alone. Like, this might seem scary. It might seem intimidating. We need to, again, if it hurts a little bit, maybe that's good. Maybe God's going to use this. Maybe we look at our priorities and say, you know what? Maybe I have been prioritizing some things over other things. And then it comes down to it. But I know that God is with me in this. Jesus is with us always. And we know that this is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And so there's a reason we can do this boldly. And when I say share boldly, it doesn't mean obnoxiously. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, about our example. Like, we don't have to be a jerk and share Jesus. We don't have to tear people down and share Jesus. Frankly, those things don't work well together. And if you weren't here for week two, you can listen to that about our example. But it means we can share boldly because Jesus is with us. And we're going into this with a message that has the power of God and the message that can change people's eternities. And if it hurts a little bit, maybe God's going to use that to grow us in the process. And if it's something we're afraid to do, maybe our priorities aren't in the right places. Maybe we're more focused on here and now instead of eternity. And in all of that, we know that Jesus is with us always. So the missing piece, it's just one ingredient, but it's courage. And your courage is needed to duplicate. We need to be bold. And again, in your prime groups this week, you're going to get to discuss last week and this week for the very final prime group of the, what are we in, fall cycle. And you'll see signups for the winter cycle coming up in a couple weeks here. But you also are going to be getting that Romans 6:23 card and talking about what does it look like to share this message of Jesus? How do we duplicate ourselves? How do we make more followers of Jesus? And it's going to take courage. Father, thank you so much for your word. And thank you that, you know, the different things we talked about here. One minute we're talking about the power of God. And the next minute we're talking about suffering is a good thing and priorities. And all these pieces, God, are about the amazing power of this good news of Jesus. And thank you, God, that most of us listening, watching, that are in this room, know that message and have believed in Jesus' death on the cross. And have hope for eternity. Believe that He took our sins on Himself and gave us His righteousness. And I thank You that we have that hope. And I pray, God, that You would give us courage. And for some of us, it's been a long time that we've known Jesus. It's been a long time since we've actually told anyone about Jesus. We might have mumbled something in the corner. But help us to be bold. Help us to be courageous. Help us to be not ashamed of this good news of the message of Jesus, because it's got Your power, God, to change people's eternity. Help us to be bold. Help us to be courageous. Help us to do that as we are obedient, as we have an example worth following, and as we use our voice to share this message. Help us to duplicate ourselves so that they will see Jesus in us, and they then will duplicate themselves and duplicate themselves, and the message of Jesus will go on and forward through generations. Thank you so much for your hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.